right? But really, it's about a pure heart. And I want you to start again by singing what we sang last week. And I want us just to kind of lift this as a prayer. But it's entitled A Pure Heart. Get Pastor James all plugged up and ready to go.
That's what I long for. Heart that follows heart after thee. A pure heart. That's what follows heart after thee.
A heart that hides your word.
Would
you sing? That's me and my spelling. That's me and my typing. I just didn't want a hard heart, so I want a hard heart. But anyway, I'm sure my proofreader up there will correct it before second service. So anyway. So Lord, give us a pure heart. And remove whatever you have to let it happen, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about dealing with envy. Today, the subtitle for this message is Dealing with Bitterness. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 12 today. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and begin turn there. Let me start by saying this. Many times what starts small and insignificant can be the very thing that leads to bitterness. It's easy to see why big things might cause people to become bitter, but quite often it's the small, minute things that lead to having a bitter heart. So today, how many are willing to let God's word speak to your heart? Okay. I'm setting you up. Okay, because it's not me, it's God's word. Okay. We're going to ask God to give us that pure heart and deal with bitterness, all right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort. Everybody say those three words with me out loud. Make every effort. That sounds like hard work. To have a heart that's hard after God is going to take work. Make every effort. That means there's going to be some work to do. And we do it for a reason, though. And it says to live in peace with how many people? Everyone. You're getting a clue already? So make every effort to live in peace with everyone. And then there's this important statement about your heart. And to be holy. And listen to why that's important. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, I want to be careful as we enter this, because I'm not talking about us being perfect before the Lord, but it's hard after the Lord and walking under His grace. We don't sin that grace may abound. Okay? Once we know the Lord, we go after the Lord, and He covers us with His holiness, but we're striving for His work to be done in us. Amen? So, verse 15, the writer continues and says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And what else is important here? And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The writer of Hebrews here is saying, see to it that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble or defiles other people. So you have a decision to make in your life. As a believer and a follower of Christ, you have a decision. You can live in bitterness and cause trouble, which is ungodly, or you can let God work in your life and see to it that this bitter root doesn't grow up. Today, we're going to establish two biblical understandings of bitterness. The first one is this. We need to embrace that bitterness has a dangerous root. Scripture teaches us clearly that bitterness is a root. Scripture told us, verse 15, the writer said, let no bitter root grow up. Now, it's hard, I'm going to tell you, to not have a hint of the root of bitterness in your life. Some of you are like, I haven't got no bitterness in me. Well, we'll find out. Let's just keep going. The reason is a lot of things happen in our life that cause us pain and hurt. It causes it in our thinking. It sometimes moves down to our emotions, our heart. And that's why the writer is saying, don't let it grow up. I don't know that I can always stop it from being a root, but I can kill that root, and I have to keep killing that root. How many of you find that weeds keep coming back and you thought you dealt with them? It happens the same in your life. How does a bitter root start to grow? A root of bitterness always grows in the soil of a hurt heart that's not dealt with biblically. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Where do roots grow? Exactly. We all know they grow underground. So know this. A root of bitterness starts out as an underground job. That means that other people might look at you and have no idea what's going on inside of you. Usually, no one can see the beginning of bitterness. Because you can look like everybody else. You're okay on the outside. And people are going to think my relationship with them is good and it's okay. But you know what's going on underground in you. There could be a root of bitterness starting to grow. And I want you to know that root is dangerous if you let it grow. Let me take a moment and just talk about roots for a moment. What do we typically know? Three things that we know about roots. Just in the natural. We know roots do this. They absorb, they store, and they grow. Here's what a bitter root does. A bitter root absorbs harmful and offensive and painful information that happens to you. It just begins to take it all in. And then over time, and it's not always a lot of time, the root begins to store those words and those actions that someone said or what they did against you. And if it's left unchecked, the next thing, that root starts to grow. Let me take a moment and contrast the root of bitterness with love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. But what does the root of bitterness do? The root of bitterness keeps detailed records of wrongs. So what happens? One of the ways it happens, somebody hurts you, and then you can remember every word they said. You begin to remember every detail of the incident. And I want you to know that's an indication for you that there could be a bitter root. Now, I'm not saying you're bitter, okay? But I'm saying the Word of God tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. And I thought he said, love God and love others. But bitterness likes to absorb. It likes to store those negative things that happen to us. Let me remind you, bitterness starts off as a root. And if you're struggling, I'm going to be honest with you, if you're struggling to really love someone biblically, then it's possible that bitterness might have a root in your heart. It's very dangerous. So do everything. See to it that no bitter root grows. Why? Back to, we need to embrace that bitterness has a dangerous root. We've got to know that. So does everybody understand that? Secondly, we need to know that bitterness also has a poisonous fruit. What starts out as an underground job will eventually grow into a fruit that everyone will see. And it will hurt many people. Hebrews 12, 15 again, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. What this is saying is do your best to not let anyone miss out on the incredible grace of God. The grace of God that causes us to be grateful for all the things we have. Church, there's nothing like the grace of God. But here's what happens. If the bitter root is there, it doesn't want the grace of God to be in somebody else's life. And that's why he's saying, see to it that no one falls short of it. Because it's about how your heart is living. Because he goes on, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If we can really understand how the grace of God is supposed to function, that we're supposed to be giving grace to others, then that bitter root won't have a chance to grow. But he uses a Greek word here when he said defile many. The word is, in the Greek, is miaino, meaning to stain, to pollute, or to contaminate. I want you to know, bitterness doesn't just affect you. It begins to pollute and contaminate those around it. It defiles. How many at some point have had a relationship that's been stained with bitterness or polluted or contaminated? That's the poisonous fruit of that root. The New Living Translation captures that in verse 15 when it reads this way. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So we know bitterness starts off this dangerous root. That dangerous root begins to grow up, show itself, and it's poison. In fact, it's interesting, no one has a problem noticing bitterness when it shows its fruit. So how do we know if our heart's growing bitter? How are we going to capture it? Let me give you three indicators today. The first indicator is this. If your heart is growing bitter, you will easily see the bad in others. If you've been hurt, you will tend to pick others apart. And you see the bad in their life instead of the good. You see the faults. You see the mistakes because you're looking for them. Because you're hurt. And you wonder, why am I doing that? Because the root of bitterness is growing. And if it's growing, you're going to only want to look at what's, you know, bad in them, and especially to those who've hurt you. Second indicator, you feel justified in criticizing and gossiping about people. This is an indicator. Let me remind you what the Bible, first of all, says about gossiping. In Proverbs, this great book of wisdom, says in verse 13, chapter 11, a gossip goes around telling secrets. But those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Gossip isn't always making up lies. It can be, but gossip is just, sometimes you just need to hold your tongue. How do I say this cautiously but clearly? I know a lot of stuff about people in this church, but that's for me to know and for me to know. And that's it. I don't have to share it. My dad taught me early on. He said, boy, you don't have to say everything you know. And I really learned I don't. And what's nobody else's business is nobody else's business. And what's their information is their information. I tell my kids, you know, and even in good information at times, I'm like, that's your information to share, not mine. Listen to Romans 1. Paul is writing early on in the very beginning of his letter here because people are turning away from God. And this is what he says in verse 20 and 21. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give thanks or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. And you can go read the rest of these verses, but in verse 29, he finishes this particular chapter with these words. This is what happens when they become dark and confused. Their lives become full of every kind of wickedness, sin. Now, this is every kind of wickedness, every kind of sin, every kind of greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and what? And gossip. What's last probably ought to be first. The church has probably not been real good about guarding gossip. Oh, we don't want to see adultery, but we'll let this one slip. It's right here, church. We've got to deal with it. Gossip and criticism usually happens when you've been hurt and now you're trying to make someone else look worse than what you feel. And you feel justified doing it. If you criticize or have to speak against other people, it might just show that there is a root of bitterness in you. A third indicator is this. You rob the joy out of every gathering. This really begins to show the poison of bitterness. Every place you go, you rob the joy, you rob the peace, and you replace it with conflict and disagreement. You have no desire to see anybody else succeed or for things to go well for others. And you will even form, listen, very dangerous strategic alliances with others who are bitter. You think, all of a sudden, look, they're in agreement with me. Let me tell you, they got a bitter heart too. And it's a dangerous alliance. And here's what I want to do. Or here's what I'm asking. I want you to be very honest and transparent with yourself. I have a question for your reflection. Now, let me warn you ahead of time. Most people who struggle with bitterness cannot see it and will not acknowledge it. It's because they want to rationalize the way they feel. Most of the time, those who have a bitter root won't bring it out. Now, why do they do that? Well, here's what they say, things like this. You know what, Pastor Brooks? If you only knew what I've been through, then you would understand why I feel the way I feel. Because my situation is different than everybody else's. If you're saying that, I'm telling you right now, you're blinded to your problem. So let me ask the question for your reflection only, not hand raising, nothing else. With whom or what are you bitter? Some are bitter with a friend, others as siblings, their mom or their dad. Maybe it's a boss or a fellow employer. And believe it or not, for some, it's even their spouse. Now, these are just some of the things, because bitterness could also be with situations and things. There are also people who are bitter with God. Yes, how could that be? We're not. Well, here's how people begin to think in their heart. God, if you were really good, you wouldn't have allowed this to happen. God, if you would only answer my prayer, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in right now. God, I'm not even sure you exist, and if you do, I don't like the way you do things. Is that a little too real for you today? Like it or not, a lot of people are bitter, and they're bitter about a lot of things. I'm asking you to guard your heart. This next month, guard against being bitter against drivers out there. How many already dealt with that this morning? It already hit you. You've got to guard your heart. When the stores may not have what you want, I'm not ever going back to this store again. Do you see how quickly that little thing, small, it's... Or the prices are not the price you want. Guard your heart when you're with your family the next holiday season as you're getting with them. Let me shift gears and let me give you a biblical way to guard your heart from becoming bitter. Because God wants you to have a pure heart. If you've not dealt with your bitterness, it's time to do so. And today, listen, don't wait till tomorrow. Today, in the presence of God, and by the power of His Spirit, and through His living Word, God can help us remove the root of bitterness. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Starts off by saying, get rid of what? All bitterness. It's interesting he didn't say, just get rid of bitterness. Because it comes in all kinds of forms. I wish we were never tempted again, but the problem is bitterness wants to be one of those things we're tempted to do. And he says, get rid of all bitterness. Everybody say those five words. Get rid of all bitterness. So how do you do it? How are we going to get rid of it? And by the way, the list goes on, rage. I mean, maybe I ought to do a whole series on every one of these. Anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. So how do we do it? Well, there is a replacement for bitterness and all these other issues. And it's found in verse 32. Instead. Everybody say instead. That means in place of. Okay? Be kind to each other. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When I walk through every one of these things, bitterness. I got to let tenderness, I've got to let this kindness and forgiveness pour out of me, or the opposite creates all of these other things. Would you read verse 32 with me? Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In fact, the word tenderhearted there is also translated compassionate. So how do we kill this root of bitterness? You kill it with kindness. You kill it with being tenderhearted. And the heart part of it is forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. So here's my prayer for you. God, in my heart, kill bitterness with kindness and tenderness toward you and others. If you would just begin to bless people, don't curse them, bless them. And instead of seeing the bad in other people, start being kind to them. That's how you're going to kill it. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about you, because I want you to be holy. I want you to represent God. I want you to not have poison coming out of your life. You're going, well, what about them? Let God deal with them when they sit and hear a message like this. But God is speaking to you today. God is talking to you about what are you going to do with His word. Are you going to get rid of it? Are you going to work through this? And instead of criticizing and gossiping, be tenderhearted toward people. You know you're not perfect. Give them a break. Hold your tongue. And instead of robbing the joy from every place you go and every gathering you're at, just walk in with forgiveness, just as God forgave you. Because He's going to let you walk into His incredible palace one day. If God held bitterness against us, there'd be no hope. But He is our example. And He lavished His love on us. Lavished, the Bible says. We're to forgive others as God has freely forgiven us. That's how we're to live as followers of Christ. Amen? So here's my point. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of it. You're going to have to continually deal with it. Just same thing with envy. It always want to rise up and say, look at what they've got. No? I did an illustration and a devotion this week. My guys on Tuesday, our pastoral staff surprised me and took me out for a little fun. And they booked my calendar up, and I just thought it was appointments with them. And they robbed me and kidnapped me. Anyway, we're in the car, and on our way, we all had our jackets because it was cold and whatever. But then all of a sudden, they just kept pulling out Reese's peanut butter, almost every type of Reese's peanut butter cup you can think of, they kept pulling it out. Anyway, and I was blessed. I had this humongous amount of Reese's stuff. Well, anyway, the next day I had devotions, and it was at our district office, and I went in, and I took it was the big cup. I cut it in half, and I gave half of it to a person. And the first thing they did, they looked at it and said, that's all I get? And that's how quickly, and yet they're a very godly person, but that's how quickly, because my point was, are we thankful in all things? Was even thankful he got half a cup. I don't know how you want to live your life, but we have got to let God be, His word really begin to be our guide. And when it says get rid of this stuff, then get rid of it. I just wish it was gone completely. The problem is it keeps wanting to have another root. And you just got to deal with those roots and say, you're not going to grow in my life because I'm going to kill you with kindness. I'm going to kill you with tenderness and forgiveness because that's how God treated me when I was wicked and when I wasn't doing right. He loved me and kept no record of wrongs. Wow. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Maybe you're here today and have never accepted God's love. He loves you and wants you to know him. I want you to know him because I want this word of God to work in you. It will change your life. It'll change your family, your workplace, because of the influence of the Spirit of God living through you. If that's you today and you want to say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior, maybe it's a rededication. Maybe it's the first time you've ever made that decision by faith. Would you just slip up your hand and say, I want that by faith. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I just want you to pray with me this simple prayer. If everybody would just help me with it, say, God, give me a pure heart and clean out my heart from bitterness and from envy. Make my heart tender. I want to be tender toward you and tender toward others. And forgive me and help me forgive others. I ask you to be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I celebrate with you. Listen, let it happen. The Bible says there's a party in heaven right now. There's a party in here. Why? Because I'm telling you, God's forgiveness works, not just in you, but through you. Amen, amen. So church, I just want to encourage you. I don't know, I could pray for you and I will close in prayer, but my prayer is only that God would speak to your heart. You've got to make every effort. That's where you've got to walk out going, I'm going to make every effort. Because I want God to be in my life. Because without it, I won't see him. I need him. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray for safety for everyone as they travel home and out. But Lord, I want the safety of our spirit more importantly. So Lord, help us to be people who make every effort. Because God, we want to be people who are diligent about watching over our lives and not letting all these little evil behaviors begin to have a root. So Lord, we get rid of it. And Lord, help us to really be kind people and compassionate and tender toward others. And Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to forgive like you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Tonight, I invite you back, 6 o'clock. It'll be our premiere showing. I have not even seen it in full until tonight. So I'm going to kind of be with you on part of it to enjoy its entirety. And because they've made changes I haven't seen, so I'm excited about it. So anyway, God bless you. 6 o'clock, hot chocolate, coffee, cookies. It's going to be a great time of fellowship tonight. God bless you.